Come before you, and we thank you for this morning, this beautiful morning you've given us, Lord, waking us up in our right minds, Father. We just thank you for the things that you've done for us, the things you're doing now, the things you're going to do. Father, we ask a special blessing on Revelation chapter 18 as we study through the book of Revelation here, Lord. Give us a special insight through the power of your Spirit. And I just pray for your anointing. God, I pray for your understanding. And Lord, I just pray as we look around us today and see what's going on around the world, what's going on in our country. Things are shaping up to the things that we've been studying here in the book of Revelation. And I just pray that we would all be prepared, that we would all be instant in season and out of season to give to anyone the answer of that blessed hope that we have, Lord, that you are coming back very soon for us to take us home to be with you for all eternity. So, Lord, bless our time as we lift this to you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Babylon, the world system of the beast, Revelation 18. It's one of the longer chapters, 24 verses. And this wraps up last week's chapter 17 and 18, the end of the Great Tribulation period. So just to recap, in chapter 17, we looked at the religious part of Babylon. Here in chapter 18, we have the political and commercial part of this system. Mystery Babylon is the apostate religion, and it will be destroyed first in the middle of the Great Tribulation. At that point, it opens up the way for a new type of worship, and that will be the worship of the Antichrist, Satan himself. As chapter 17 pointed out, Mystery Babylon is Rome, and when it goes down in the middle of the tribulation, the religious center will then move to Jerusalem. Because at Jerusalem, the false prophet will put up his image of the Antichrist to be worshipped in the third temple. I find it amazing that Satan would use Jerusalem, because we read over and over in the Old Testament that God's eyes are continually on Jerusalem. As we're going to see in a couple weeks, the New Jerusalem, as we begin eternity, we are going to live in that New Jerusalem. God the Father and God the Son will be the light in that New Jerusalem that sheds out and spreads out throughout the universe. Isn't it ironic? Satan has always wanted to be God. And so here he's going to take over Jerusalem. So we're going to go ahead and read these 24 verses, and let's look at verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every false spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For in her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works in the cup which she has mixed double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen. I am no widow and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death, mourning, and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come." And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn for her. No one buys her merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of precious wood, bronze, iron and marble, and cinnamon and incense, and fragrant oil, frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, bodies and souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster who traveled by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What is like this great city?' They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her.' Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, 'Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you any more. No craftsman or any craft shall be found in you any more, and the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you any more. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you any more, and the voice of a bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you any more. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorcery, all the nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who were slain on the earth." So far, we've gone through seven seals, seven trumpets, seven different characters, and seven bowls of wrath. We're nearing the very last part of that seven-year great tribulation period. So John sees this angel. This is another supernatural messenger of God. But notice he's not identified as to who he is. He has great authority, great power, indicating he has a superior rank to the other angels. I had mentioned this in times past. God has his ranks of angels, just like Satan has his ranks of demons. The message he's bringing is very important. Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become. Now the tense in the original Greek text is speaking of coming events as if they've already happened. You see that throughout the scripture. You find when God says something is going to happen, you can literally speak about it as though it had already happened. You see, in God's plan and program, it's just as though it had already taken place, because God knows the end from the beginning, in his sovereignty, in his providence. Something else I want you to catch here. Babylon is a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Satan worship. How prevalent is that today? We're seeing demon worship like never before. It's been going on, but it's coming out now in the open. Babylon is where demons of the spirit world and unclean birds of the physical world will be held. When you get a chance, read Isaiah 13, verses 19 to 22, and Jeremiah 50, verses 38 to 40. It predicts this, and it talks about it. Isaiah the prophet and Jeremiah the prophet. Have drunk speaks of God's judgment. They've rejected and denied all of God's authority. Does that sound like Christians, born-again believers, the church being here? The word merchants speaks of those who travel. Now, the Apostle John is not talking of those who are brokers being in it for the profit. Actually, he is talking about them. I know people who use their business as the biggest excuse for having no time for God. But God will judge godless commercialism during this tribulation period. That's why it's important for us to have our priorities right. That's why we have to make God first in all things. This is what I love about the Reddit Corp. It's what it's all about, putting God first. You want to be blessed? You want to prosper? Put God first, right at the top, and watch and see what happens. Just as Lot was warned to get out of Sodom to escape the judgment that was coming, so God warns these people. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30 and 31 says, when you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, wherever you see latter days, the last days have been the last 2,000 years of the church dispensation. The latter days is a reference to the generation that's witnessing what we're witnessing. When you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God, he will not forsake you nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore to them. Notice the warning is twofold. They're to have no fellowship with the sins of Babylon. Secondly, they're to get out of Dodge before judgment falls. I mean, run and head for the mountains. This should be a warning to us. Not that God will fail to save us from this hour, from the great tribulation period, but he wants us to be separate, not indulging in the old nature, but he wants us to be walking by the Spirit. That's why it's so important to be in Bible study, to learn God's character and what he's all about and what he desires of us. You see, the prosperity Babylon was enjoying literally blinded her to God's judgment. This is what happens to people today. Everything was looking so good. I mean, world peace seemed in sight. The Antichrist promised it. Everyone was optimistic about the future of the world. Man, does that have a ring of what people are saying today? When the news goes out, as all the world is watching the destruction of this city through television and the internet, the world will be in shock. They'll be in shock because it's going to catch them off guard. The mourning, the weeping, it's all over the sense of loss. We can kind of relate to that today. I mean, it's not knowing if things will ever return to normal. That seems to be on people's minds, even as we speak. We speak about spirituality and spiritual things, and yet, what would we do if everything we have, think about this, everything we value, was taken from us in one stroke? Would we still trust God? Would we still believe he will see us through? Or will we get mad at God and want to walk away from him? Today, like never before, we need to do some real heart searching. We need to check out where our hearts are with the things of God. Eternities are on the corner. I mean, there's 7 years, and then there's a 1,000-year period, and then eternity. We could be 1,007 years away from starting that awesome, incredible time as eternity. As we're getting ready to meet up with the church of the last 2,000 years. We're living in a time where sorcery and demonism are more and more out in the open and being manifested. Satanism is going to increase as we get closer to the end of this age. I mean, Satan not only deceives people, he blinds them. He blinds them. What we are witnessing today, here in 2022, looking at 2023, things are being set up for Satan to rule this earth. There's an interesting book. It's called The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. It's written by a guy named Edward Gibbon in 1788. In his book, he gives five basic reasons why that great civilization went down and eventually died. I'm going to read these five reasons. Tell me if this doesn't sound like us today. Number one, the undermining of the dignity and sanctity of the home, which is the basis for human society. Number two, higher and higher taxes, the spending of public money for free bread, which meant the rich got richer. Number three, the mad craze for pleasure, sports becoming more and more exciting, more brutal, more immoral. Number four, the building of great armaments when the real enemy was within, the decay of individual responsibility. And number five, the decay of religion, faith fading into mere form, losing touch with life, losing power to guide people. Society had gotten to a place where it was all about pleasure. It was no longer a commitment of living for God. It was no longer making God a top priority in our lives, our families, our businesses. People don't want to have the gospel preached to them. They have itching ears. They want to hear things that aren't so convicting or condemning. People are content with living like the way the rest of the world lives. From pleasure to pleasure, from party to party, from one high to another high. The warning I see is history does repeat itself. It has an ominous meaning in the light of what we just read. We already see these five things at work in our society. These things destroy a nation. They destroy the home. They destroy the individual. Chapter 18 brings us to the conclusion, the terrible, horrific period called by Christ himself, the Great Tribulation. So let me do a quick recap on what we've been studying here. The total period is 7 years. It's called the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. After the church leaves the earth at the rapture, the Antichrist comes to power as world dictator on a platform of peace and prosperity. It's a platform of peace and prosperity. He's not going to bring, literally, peace and prosperity. During the first part of the tribulation, he'll bring about radical changes that will seem to benefit mankind. But he's actually bringing in a false peace as all government and religion become controlled by him. A one world government, one world economy, and a one world religion. The church isn't going to be here. This is the harlot system. This is the Jezebel religion. At the beginning of the Great Tribulation, the world will believe they're entering the 1,000-year millennium. Guys, we're hearing talk of that today. That there is 1,000 years just ahead of us of peace. The dawning of a new age for man. But as 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11-12 says, this is a part of the big lie of that period. The true church, the body of Christ, has been removed from earth before the tribulation begins. Israel will again become God's witness on earth with 144,000 men sealed by God's Spirit for the duration of 7 years. When God told Abraham that he would be a blessing to the world, Abraham's the first Jew. The Jewish people had an opportunity to become a blessing to the entire world. Well, they rejected their Messiah, so the church was born. The church has lived for 2,000 years now. Romans chapters 9, 10, 11, God is going to deal with his Jewish people, the chosen people. And we see it here in the tribulation. The church is gone. God now uses 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, to witness during that 7 years. What they didn't do before the church began, God is going to allow them to do it in that 7 year period. The king of the north, we believe to be Russia, major country north of Jerusalem, will move against Israel with the Arabs. God will judge him, Ezekiel 39. God is going to wipe out 5/6 of that entire army in the mountains of Israel before they even get into God's city, Jerusalem. The Antichrist continues to move with his deception. The world falls apart as he breaks his covenant with Israel in the middle of the 7 year tribulation. The Middle East becomes the center of world activity. Babylon will be the political and economic capital of the world. And Jerusalem, which is also called Babylon, will be the religious capital. The Antichrist starts in Rome. The false prophet in Jerusalem. Have you been watching the news of what's going on with that supposedly Messiah that the Jews now have in Jerusalem? Could he be the false prophet? I'm telling you, we are witnessing the beginning of this stage being set. The apostate religion, the harlot system, is destroyed by Antichrist and the kings who have submitted their powers and authority to him. The tragedy is one disaster after another will fall on the earth, but the heart of man will continue to be unrepentant. Finally, the Battle of Armageddon. The king of the east, millions of men march and enter into a battle, but they'll be destroyed and their blood and flesh will flow to the horse's bridle about 5 feet deep. In the midst of the chaos of man's making and of Satan's scheming, comes the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus returns to the earth. The church, his bride, returns with him as he then establishes his thousand-year kingdom. Today, we're not looking for the fulfillment of these things that we've covered from chapter 4 to chapter 18. We are looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We don't know the day he'll return. Anyone who claims to know has information that's not in God's word. One thing we can say for sure, our salvation is nearer than when we first believe. Right now, Western Europe is looking for a man strong enough to put the old Roman Empire back together. A man who can bring the world into a time of peace and prosperity. I believe this man is alive. I believe he could very well be in public office. We might have even seen him on TV. And he's just waiting for the right moment to be revealed. Remember, Paul wrote church in Thessalonica, told the church he cannot be revealed until the Holy Spirit is removed out of the way. Well, you and I as born-again believers are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the rapture of the church. The crowning scene of the setting of the stage of Israel, which is back in her land, is in control of their capital city, Jerusalem. Everything is in position, prophetically and physically. Next Tuesday, chapter 19, we're going to look at the marriage of the Lamb and Christ's second coming. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things that you continue to reveal to us and to teach us, Lord. This has been a heavy experience going through this great tribulation and what's going to happen. And looking at the seven churches, the 2,000 years age of grace, the church age. And as we're going to see in chapter 19, 20, 21, 22, it gets glorious. The whole stage changes. Everything takes on a radical change. And we're excited about that. So, Father, go before us as we lift up these next four teachings to you, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.